Welcome to Torati Machanach Yomi with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Chanalei Rappaport, and today we will be learning Sefer Shoftim, Perek Tesvav, Chapter 15. We ended the last parak with Shimshon leaving in anger after his wife had betrayed him by giving over the answer to his riddle to the Plishtim. He kills 30 men, and he goes back to his father's house, whereupon his wife betrays him again by leaving to go and live with a different man. Pasuk Aleph, verse 1. Vayhi miyamim, and it was after days, b'mei ktzir chitim, it's now the time of the harvest of the wheat, vayifkod Shimshon es ishto b'gdi izim. And he comes back to reconciliate with his wife, and he even brings her a gift. Vayomer, and he said, avoa el ishti hachadra. He says, presumably in the house, let me go back to my wife, to her room, v'lein nesanai aviha lavai. And her father didn't let him come. We know why her father didn't let him come. She's no longer there. She's living with someone else. And he explains, Pasuk Beis, Vayomer Abiha, Amar Amarti, I said to myself, Ki sonai snesa, you hate her. Ve'etnena l'mereacha. And so I gave her over to your friend. Again, the friend are the Plishtim who had come to his bachelor party. But I have a good idea for her. She has a younger sister, Tova Mimena. She's better than her. Tehi na l'cha tachteha. Please take her instead. So Shimshon now has another reason to act out in anger against the Plishtim. And again, this is going to be looked at as a personal vendetta, and it can't possibly be blamed on the Jews, which is again the reason behind all of his strange actions. So Pasuk Dalet, verse 4, Vayelech Shimshon, so Shimshon goes, Vayilkot Shlosh Me'ot Shoalim, and he captures 300 foxes, and he takes torches, and he takes every two foxes, and he sticks them together by their tails, and he puts one tail against the other, and in between them he puts a lapid achad ben shnei hasnavot batavach. In middle of the two tails, he sticks a torch. Again, something like nonsensical, something a little bit crazy, and that's the impression he's trying to make, is that he's a little bit crazy. Why does he do this? Why does he put the two foxes together? Why doesn't he just send each fox on his own with a torch? First of all, he didn't want them to run too far away. He wanted the damage to be done only to the Plishtim, and this way they were a little bit stuck together. Or the Gemara in Sota says that foxes always look behind them when they're running. And Shimshon says the fox should come and bring retribution against the Plishtim, who also turned back. Turned back from what? Turned back from their promise. We know the Plishtim. The Plishtim are an ancient nation. And we also know who their king was. Way back when, Avimelech was the king of them. And Avimelech and Avraham had a promise way back then that we were going to be at peace with each other. And now here the Plishtim, you've been making our lives a misery. So let the foxes that look back take retribution against the nation that went back on their promises. One more possible answer is that you, father, came between man and his wife. So I am going to take these two foxes and stick them together as a mashal to the man and the wife, and I'm going to put a fire there, because that's what you did. You were a force of destructiveness before man and his wife. And he let the foxes loose, and they indeed burned down all the fields of the Plishtim. In Pasuk Vav, when the Plishtim look around and they see all their crops are destroyed, Vayomer Plishtim, verse 6, Mi asa zais? Who did this? Vayomer, and they said, Shimshon chatan hatimni. It's Shimshon, the son-in-law of the Timni. Look how well his camouflage has worked. They don't say Shimshon the Jew. They say Shimshon, the son-in-law of this man from Timnah. Ki lakachas ishto, because he took his wife, the man, the father took his wife, ve'yitna l'mire'ehu, and gave him to someone else. And when the Plishtim heard that the destruction to their field was caused because the father had given his wife away, ve'ya'alu Plishtim, and the Plishtim went up, ve'yisrafu oisa, they burned her, ve'esaviha ba'esh. They burned them alive. And really what it was a deterrent for everyone, do not have anything to do with this Shimshon. Shimshon is going to take this event and he's going to escalate it even further. Pasuk Zayin, verse 7, Vayomer lehem Shimshon. And Shimshon said to them, Im ta'asun kazot, if you did something like this, we'll have to understand what that something like this means. Ki im nikamti bachem va'achar echdal. I'm going to now take nekama against you for what you did, and afterwards I'm going to stop. Rashi says, it seems like you are accustomed to do this. To do this meaning to give away a man's wife, meaning to be immoral. Therefore, you are all worthy of punishment. The Ralbag says, in revenge for them killing his wife, meaning he was very justified to say, even though she betrayed me, she was my wife, and now you killed her. Or the Radak says, now you killed them? Had you done like this before? Before I came back, had you tried to be just, but you didn't do it before, which means that you are just as guilty as they were because you didn't take care of it before I came back. Or the Malbim says, if you are so brutal and can kill like that without any mercy, then you're not going to be able to say anything to me for being brutal as well. Or the Mitzuda says, actually, that Shimshon says, thank you for taking care of this. And because you did this, I'll only do one more thing to you, and then I'm going to stop. Vayach osam shok al yarech maka gedola. And he goes and he kills many of them. Vayered vayeshev b'si'if sela etam. And then he goes and hides out in the crevice of the rock of Etam because he knew that they were now going to look for him, which indeed they did in Pasuk Tes. Vayalu plishtim vayachanu b'Yehuda v'yinatshu balechi. And they come and they camp out in Yehuda and they spread out over a place called Lehi. Now, we'll see, it wasn't really called Lehi yet then, but it's called Lehi because it's going to be called Lehi, as we'll see in a minute. Pasuk Yod, Vayomru Ish Yehuda, Lama Alisa Malena, what are you doing here? Vayomru, and they said, La'asar Shimshon Aleinu La'asoslo Kasher Salanu. We came here to capture Shimshon Aleinu La'asoslo. We have come to do to him Kasher Salanu, like he did to us. And they come and they say, we don't want to fight with you. We don't want to argue against you. And this is typical of the Plishtim, who are always there and always bothersome and always troubling. But in a certain sense, they said, we have no quarrel with you. We don't want to have a war with you. We just want Shimshon. What is the halacha in such a case? If a group of people come and say, hand over any one of you or we will kill you all, you're not allowed to hand over anybody. Meaning if they don't come with a name and they just say, hand over any one of you, you're not allowed to hand over anything. But if they come and they ask for a person by name, saying, we want Shimshon, there's a machlokas, there's an argument here, if you're allowed to or not. Meaning if they come and say, we want Shimshon. But everyone agrees that if the person is chayev misa, meaning if the person is deserving to die, you hand him over. If he's not deserving to die, that's where we have the disagreement amongst the rabbis, what we do. But from the way they looked at Shimshon, it's clear that he's causing terrible turmoil in Klal Yisrael. What are you starting up with them for? And really, he could be considered, it's called a rodef, meaning you will cause other people to be killed. Even his parents don't understand him. You're causing us terrible damage. It's been okay till now. Why did you start? So, Vayerdu Shloshes Alefim Ish MiYehuda, so 3,000 men from Yehuda go down to the Si'if Sela Etam, to the crevice of this rock, Vayomru LeShimshon, and they say to him, Halo Yadata, don't you know Ki Moshlim Banu Plishtim, that the Plishtim are in charge of us now, that the Plishtim have control? Uma Zos Asisa Lanu. What did you do to us? Vayomru Lahem, Ka'asher Asuli Kein Asisi Lahem. I did to them what they did to me. He could have told them, he could have explained to them, but he chose to hold on to his disguise because he needed to. And they said to him, we've come to tie you up and to give you to the Plishtim. We need to, because otherwise they're going to kill us. And Shimshon agrees to allow himself to be tied up. Bayomar lahem Shimshon, he shavuli pentif ku'un biyatem. That's fine. I'm going to let you tie me, but please don't kill me. Let them kill me. You don't touch me, because he didn't want to have to hurt any of them in self-defense. And he felt maybe my strength is going to fail me if I'm fighting against Jews. And he didn't want to hurt them. He said he knows he has the strength to work against the Plishtim, but he was very well aware that this was not a physical strength. This was a spiritual strength. By allowing himself to be given over by the Jews, he is again acting in a way that would seem to make it obvious to the Plishtim that he wasn't representing the Jews. And this was his goal throughout. This was his disguise. And they said to him, no, we're not, don't worry, we're not going to touch you, we're just going to tie you up and we're going to give you over to them. Pasuk Yud Gimel, v'hames loy nimisecha, we're not going to kill you. And they tied him up in two new ropes, v'ya'aluhu min hasela, thick ropes, and they bring him up from the rock. And these ropes melt away. Pasuk Yud Aleph, hu ba ad lechi, he comes to lechi, uplishtim he ri'u lekrasai, and they're blowing their horns in triumph. Vatitzlach alav ruach Hashem, again those words that we saw in yesterday's parak, the ruach of Hashem falls on him, and it means he's going to have hatzlacha, he's going to have success, and those ropes that were on his arms turn into kapishtim, this is flax, asher ba'aru ba'esh, that are burned by fire, and they melted, the chains that were holding him, the ropes that were holding him, melted from his hand. And then in Pasuk Tesvav, vayimtza lechi chamor tria, he finds the jaw of a donkey, vayishlach yadovi kacha, and he picks up the jawbone of this donkey, vayikacha, and he takes it, vayachba elafish, and with the lechi of the chamar of the donkey, he kills 1,000 people. Now we know he could fight with nothing as he did with the lion, but there seems to be significance to his choosing this weapon of a donkey. And it's going to keep on being repeated, this word lechi, again we said the name of the city that he comes to is called lechi from this word of the lechi chamar. There's a remez here to a donkey. Yehuda also is referred to with the donkey, mashal. And it says that Mashiach will come, he will come riding on a donkey. And it seems to be saying that what Shimshon is doing is setting the stage. The promise is that he will begin to save the Jewish nation from the Plishtim. What will come after is first Shaul, but then David will complete his job. And that's perhaps the symbolism of this donkey, because we know that Malchus Beis David is eventually going to lead us to Mashiach. So he's connecting to this Yehuda piece of the ones who are going to finish the job against the Plishtim. Pasuk Tesayin, Vayomer Shimshon, Belichi HaChamar, Chamor Chamorasayim, with this jawbone of the donkey, I made piles and piles. Belichi HaChamar, with the jawbone of the donkey, Kesi Elef Ish, I killed 1,000 people. And when he finishes to speak, he throws this lechi, he throws this jawbone from his hands, and he calls the place Ramat Lechi, the heights of Lechi. But then in Pasuk Yudches, Vayitzma Ma'ot, he gets very, very thirsty after the victory. Vayikra al Hashem, and he calls out Hashem, Vayomer, Atana sata biyad avdecha es hatshua hagadola hazos. He recognizes and realizes immediately. He says, I had nothing to do with this victory. You, Hashem, put it in my hands. Va'ata amus b'tzama, and now I'm going to die in thirst. V'nafalti biyad ha'arelim, and I'm going to fall into the hands of the arelim, of the uncircumcised ones. What happened here? It could be that because Shimshon, again, a tiny little shade of haughtiness, when he said that, here I just had the jawbone of the donkey and with this I managed to kill 1,000 people, Hashem said, you did? You managed to kill 1,000 people? And so he undoes it with making Shimshon very thirsty, and Shimshon realizes, yes, with all my strength, if I don't have a little bit to drink, I'm going to die. Hashem, it is all you. His tefillah is reflective of this concept. He says, I don't care to die. It has nothing to do with me dying, but there's going to be a tremendous chilul Hashem, a desecration of Hashem's name, if I die and the Plishtim find me and they destroy me. So, Vayivka Elokim es hamachtesh asher balechi, and there was a hole where the teeth should come out of the jawbone, and Hashem splits that hole, Vayetzu mimenu mayim, and from that hole comes out water, Vayesht, and he drank, Vatasha Vruchai, and his spirit comes back, Vayechi, and he lived. Alkein Karash Shema, and therefore he calls his name, Ein HaKorei Asher Balechi Ad Hayom Hazeh. And he calls it the spring of the one who calls out, recognizing that his salvation came because of his tefillah, because of his tshuva, because he davened to Hashem, and therefore he is saved, and therefore this place is called the jawbone, the spring of the jawbone. And this ma'ayan, it's important, it seems to be able to tell us, is still exists today in the time of Shmuel. And then, very interesting, in Pasuk Chaf, verse 20, Vayishpot es Yisrael b'mei plishtim esrim shana. Somehow, the Jews realize that the miracles that were done for him were supernatural. And therefore, this person, again, who looks a little bit interesting and strange and radical, must have something, some sort of deep connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And so they recognize this, and he becomes their shofet, and they listen to him for 20 years. Shimshon was the 13th in the chain of Misora, coming straight from Yehoshua, and he is compared favorably to Aaron HaKohen. There are a lot of similarities between a Kohen and a Nazir, and he is compared favorably to Aaron. For 20 years, Shimshon is the ruler, and there's a quiet peace. But then, as we're going to see in the next parak, Shimshon feels, as the Das Sofrim describes, that the Plishtim are still there. They continue to be a presence amongst the Jewish nation. They had their festivals, and they started to impact the Jews, and although they had backed down after Shimshon's first activities, we're now a generation later, and they start to make trouble again. But by now, Shimshon is known as a leader of the Jewish nation. He can't just go and fight them, or again, there's going to be anger against the whole nation who's not on the level to be able to survive a real war. So he's going to have to go and play that snake role again, as we're going to see in the next parak. Thank you for learning in memory of our dear grandmothers, Miriam Schenker, Rachel Friedman, Teresa Schreiber, and Bella Oppenheimer, Aleihem HaShalom, Neshot Chayil, who lived with the utmost commitment to Torah, Avodah, and Gemilas Chasadim, despite the physical and spiritual challenges they faced living in the United States, Israel, or Europe. May their example continue to inspire our family and the families of Klal Yisrael. Nina and Chaim Schenker.